Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show. We have a new theme song. It's the Jim Jefferies Show. Da-da-da-da-da, Jim Jefferies. Is that a popular song? Can I use that?
I've never heard that one.
So. But I only used a few seconds, so it's okay. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, you're welcome. Welcome. Enjoy yourself. Sit in your car. You're probably in traffic. We're going to make the next half hour of your life go by very quickly. But then the last half hour is a very stressful time where I cry. If you would like to see me perform, I will be at Clusterfest Comedy and Music Festival, June 2nd in San Francisco. That's where I left my heart. Did you know that, Forrest?
I did, yeah.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Go back and get it.
That's where I'm going. I'm going to do it. Also, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is going to the next level because now we do adverts. We do adverts. And I will read the advert.
Yep, that's what they want you to do.
US Market Board. We use it every day to learn, design, and strategize. Dry erase boards and now glass market boards are a must-have for every stage of life. For visual display products you need and the quality of service you deserve, US Market Boards is the place to go. A full service shop with high quality, high trained staff, US Market Boards is able to handle any request, no matter how large or small, as long as it's related to market boards. You can't ring them up and ask about other things. They can't fix chlamydia. Well, I learnt that the hard way. Visit usmarketboard.com today and use the promo code Jefferies, that's J-E-F-F-E-R-I-E-S, to get 12% off your next order. Come and see what US Market Board can do for you.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Fuck that, man.
I'm proud of you, man. We should just stop the podcast there.
How much better am I getting as a reader? Like, honestly, like, in my life, when we first started this show, I was like a kitten who couldn't read. Now I'm like a panther who reads the fuck out of shit. I'm like a panther who's like, I'm on my 17th Harry Potter book. I know they haven't been written, but I write them myself just to fucking read them because I'm a panther reading motherfucker.
You're more like a gazelle. Tracked down by a cougar, like a cheetah, and then it's like has a bad leg, but it can still get around on three legs.
More like a reading camel, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Now we have a guest. Now often on this show, when we have guests, I say things like, "I like this person. I'm excited to have them on," and for 99% of the time, that's a lie. I don't like anybody. But here is, we're friends.
Yeah,
we're friends. This girl.
Why didn't you ask her that after that buildup?
I don't know.
But then she said it so awkwardly. I couldn't have more love for this person if I tried. Ginger Gonzaga.
Hi. I love you too.
I love you too, Ginger. Now, if for the 12 people who watch Legit, my sitcom, for those 12 people, and we're talking to you, Dan Bacadol, Ginger played my girlfriend Peggy on Legit, and then you played my girlfriend again
in a movie.
She has played my girlfriend twice. Literally, how long have we been known each other? Six years?
Yeah, I think so.
This is my longest relationship with a female that hasn't fallen to bits.
Yay!
And I'm including my mother because that relationship fell to bits very, very early on. It was around the breastfeeding when I was just like sucking off my mum's tit and I kept on hitting her knee. That's a hot... My mother's a large woman.
Ginger's got exciting news. She's been doing a lot of stuff. You've been on... every time I...
Mixology. She was in Wrecked.
But she just
Which was just a little documentary about a party that I had once.
This is hot off the press. Yesterday, Ginger Gonzaga said to recur in Jim Carrey's Showtime comedy series, Kidding. So,
Kidding. Is Jim Carrey in the show?
Mm-hmm.
And you are playing Jim's what?
I can't say, but I am a cancer patient. I got in trouble by Showtime when I said
Okay, this is the thing. I feel
She's recurring.
I feel like you're... you're moving up in the gyms. Right? Because you had a show with me and now you have a show with Jim Carrey and like you can't go further up.
I know.
Your next show is on the way down with Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
You're doing a Jim Belushi and then I don't know of any other gyms.
Other gyms?
Yeah.
But then you,
Jimmy
gym.
Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. Okay.
No, but I went too fast down to Jim Belushi. I'm trying to think of lesser gyms. And I like Jim Brewer. I like Jim Norton. I'm not going to say mean things about them.
Jim Neighbors?
Jim Beam.
Who's that? Who's Jim anyway,
yeah. Yeah, and then at the end of your career, you'll just be doing Jim Beam.
That'll be it.
So you sat in on the show today?
Yeah.
Gonzaga, you sat
in? I saw the camel pee for about 3 minutes.
Well, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. There's a camel on the show.
The fuck,
Fuck, Ginger. Fuck.
We didn't ruin your whole thing.
I was referring to the audience members.
Yeah, you got cancer on that show because you're a bad person. So what happened was we did a show today, as we do every Tuesday. And what happens is we get slightly drunk before the show. I've had an In-N-Out burger. I'm happy. You happy, Forrest?
I didn't have a burger and I didn't get drunk before the show, but yeah, sure, but I'm happy.
Are you drinking now?
No, I didn't.
Afterwards, Forrest is taking me on a date.
Where is he going?
Well, Forrest knows someone who works for Skywalker Movies.
What?
And I get to see Han Solo.
I auditioned for that. Anyway. I didn't get it.
Yeah, what did you audition for?
Emilia Clarke's part.
What, in the Solo movie? Mm. Like you were going to be like a short Wookiee?
Yeah, I would rather be a Wookiee.
You'd be like a baby Wookiee.
Yeah.
Did you know you were going up against her?
No, it was at the time. I think it was like Janelle Monáe and other people, and then they switched it.
Well, like Queen of Dragons, you're like, all right, yeah.
But I would have rather have been like a creature.
I'm very excited about the Solo film. I'll tell a little personal story now. What happened was before The Force Awakens, I sent out a message on 2 months before The Force Awakens came out. I was on Facebook and I sent out a stupid message, and the stupid message went like this. I was just over at J.J. Abrahams' house and he showed me The Force Awakens. I can't believe that Han Solo died. Now, obviously, I'm not friends with A.J. Abrahams, nor would he show me of all...
He doesn't even know his name.
Also, there's no guy named J.J. Abraham that makes movies, so... That guy got
That's
shot.
That's how close they are.
At the Ford Theater.
Okay. He's got some biblical last name.
The deal is...
J.J. Abrahams was a president of the United States. Everybody knows that. J.J. Abrams makes movies.
That's the house I was at. Don't ruin my story.
Sorry, my bad.
So what happened was, obviously, no one's showing me a Star Wars film 2 months before it came out. Obviously, yeah. I was joking. Did I guess right that Han Solo died? Yes. But what happened was, so I lost about 100,000 followers because when the movie came out, people got really angry because Han Solo died, and I got all this hate mail with people like, fuck you, you ruined the fucking movie. Now, in turn, I hadn't personally seen the film, so they fucking ruined it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I didn't know fucking Han Solo died. Now, you think that would be where it ended. Like, obviously, I didn't get shown the movie before. Now, then what happens is The Last Jedi comes out, and some cunt who is still really upset about me ruining The Force Awakens, he says, sends me a private message on my Facebook, and the headline is something like, hey, Jim, I'm a big fan. I have an ego. Of course, I clicked on that. I wanted to read. I wanted to read some nice things about me. But then all he goes like this. He goes, Snoke gets killed by a lightsaber. And the thing, we don't know who Rey's parents. So he fucked the movie up for me.
Aww.
Now, young man, if you're listening, right, I'm seeing the Solo movie today.
Oh, yeah.
3 days before you. And you don't even know this, but I've opened up different Facebook accounts, so I'm going to attack you from every fucking level. I'm going to ruin every movie you ever see, you cunt. Anyway, so we did a show today, right? Now, on our show, hold on. I got to fight.
You've opened up several Facebook accounts?
Shut up. Don't ruin it.
That's a lot. You're really doubling down. People are leaving Facebook.
I stalk a lot of people. So what happened on the show today is we had an intro that went well. And then
the intro, we changed in the title sequence. We had two things in there, as we always do. We change every week. One of them was a picture of Ivanka Trump at the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, where it was controversial that we moved it there, and then it slides down where she's pointing to, and it's a picture of the Gaza Strip where they're fighting, where there was protests. And then also,
I used to date a girl with a lovely Gaza Strip.
Yep. And then the other one was it was a chart that says days without thoughts and prayers, and it was at 30 something, and yeah. I don't know what the number was, and that went back to zero because, as we know, there was another school shooting. But
there's another school shooting. But I'll tell you what about the school shootings. If you're a school shooter, try not to do it around the same time as a royal wedding.
You're not gonna get the press. You're not gonna get the press.
You won't get the press. That fucking dress was more important than you, you dumb cunt.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, going up against a boat neck dress.
It's America. We do forget about the shootings pretty quickly, but that one was like, see ya.
It's not even a thing.
So anyway, so let's not give that guy too much fucking press. So in the first bit of the show, we talked about what's happened lately. There's been a little uptick and it's normally white women. Now I consider you to be a white woman in certain lights.
I'm white passing in certain lights.
And then, no one ever knows what you are. You're
I don't think Ginger's white.
Ginger doesn't know what Ginger is. Yeah. Ginger's like, are you hearing Laurel or Yanni?
Yeah.
So white women, it turns out they don't like black people doing shit at all, right? So what happens
is. It's always white women.
White women. So there was a family barbecuing, and then a white woman called the cops. There was the two lads in Starbucks, and what happened to them was they were just sitting for like 10 minutes.
There was,
but the call was, I think, after something really short, like a minute 30.
Yeah.
So and she just no,
the
saw co- them.
The cops got
like,
there.
Black.
Yeah, the cops got there after 10 minutes. The call was very early.
Yeah.
And it was just like, there's two black people in the Starbucks, do something about it. And then, like, when it first happened, I thought maybe when the researchers for the show came to me and said, oh, this happened in Starbucks, I thought this wasn't a whole piece because this may be an isolated incident. This doesn't happen as often as we think. And then they just barraged me with stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks. It was remarkable.
There was three women playing golf, black women playing golf, and then there was a complaint put in that they're playing too slowly. There was an Obama staffer that was moving into a house. Like, he was bringing stuff into a house.
He was bringing stuff.
Yeah. And they still called the cops. Like, what?
Like,
why,
he's like, yeah. What,
like, he's like,
this
furnishing.
Guy's planning. Yeah,
it was reverse robbing.
Ugly desks.
There's a guy furnishing an apartment. You better get over here right away. And then there was a woman that was sleeping on the campus at Yale in, like, a common area. Like, if you've been to college, people are always sleeping.
Yeah,
all over the place.
That's what you do. And you're tired.
They called the cops on her.
If they go, I sleep in alleyways and in nightclub chairs and all sorts of places, and no one's ever kicked me. Mind you, I do get kicked out of a lot of places. So anyway, so we did this whole thing about the what happened there and all
and the Airbnb thing was interesting.
Airbnb thing was interesting because it was
first of all, the reason they called is because they said they looked suspicious.
They weren't smiling and waving.
Not smiling and waving, which is like, wow, that's.
And it turns out it was the granddaughter of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little fun fact.
And now that person.
That's actually not a. That's a so a black woman got arrested. Fun fact.
Fun fact. Black royalty.
Let's keep it light.
It's everywhere.
So we talked about all the different things that happened to all the different people. And then we came up with a little concept at the end that was like, maybe your 911 privileges should be taken away. In the same way, if you use Postmates and you're a bit of a dick or Uber and you're a fuckwit, you have your different rating system. So we worked out a rating system for 911 calls.
It was like, you don't watch Black Mirror, right?
I do watch Black Mirror.
A little bit like that. Like, we came up with, like, it's in the future that you'd be being rated. There's, like, an episode similar where you rate people, but a racism scale would be something,
A racism scale.
Racism rating.
Yeah. Racism rating. What's your racism rating like, Ginger?
Yeah, how many stars here?
One's bad
means you're racist.
I'm not racist.
What's the most...
Five means you're not racist.
Okay, we have to...
I'm ethnic.
What is
racism.
The most racist thing you've ever done? What's the most racist
most
thing?
Racist thing I've ever done? Oh, my
God.
Keeping in mind, you just got a role on a new show.
I'm going to say...
I don't think I do anything
I'm going to say it's not showing up for half of your family's Christmas.
Right? It's
wow.
Like...
And then Jim just
assuming...
That's the most racist thing he's ever done.
Oh, no. I've been way more racist. I'm from Australia, goddammit.
I am
that laugh was so nerve-wracking. I went, I'm from Australia, and you went, they're bad people. They're one step up from South Africans.
I like South African.
Oh, yeah, it's great to be there. Wonderful thing. So as a colored person, what do you do? Yeah. That's what
how
they
many,
say. That's
how many stars are you? Jim, you, how many stars are you?
Oh, no, I'd have a good 4.2 rating.
4.2.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm not racist.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm just fucking. I think 4.2, they still won't pick you up.
I don't see color, but I definitely see height.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I'm screwed. But then you shouldn't be able to see it because you're tall.
No, I don't know where that joke was leading. Hey, Jack, have you been laid recently? No, just checking in. Okay, so that's what we did.
Wait, there's a question for Jack, by the way, that was sent.
Oh, okay. Question.
Said I had a Jack.
Question for Jack.
From Twitter, Dan Gardner asks.
Dan
is your
Gardner.
Assistant. Well, it's already a bad question. Is your assistant Tom Hackett? Got your name wrong. Any relation to Grant Hackett? I don't know.
Grant Hackett's an Olympic swimmer from Australia.
Is he?
Yeah, he won several gold medals. You know? Yeah, he was a great swimmer.
Absolutely no relation.
Has an alcohol problem.
No relation?
Mm-mm.
All right, that's it for Jack. Get back over there.
All right, see ya.
Thank you for having me.
Jack has also never been a victim of racial profiling.
Yes. Jack doesn't even have to say anything racial,
and he's already a three-star.
I'll tell you other things that Jack has not been a victim of. Any sexual harassment?
Aww, he's like, hashtag me too.
Anyone beating him in any sporting event?
No,
because you don't compete, because you don't have an athletic body, Jake.
So there was one funny thing. There's a bunch of funny things, but one of the things you said was you can't solve racism in 6 minutes. But we did already solve racism on the show one time, I thought.
We tried to do it last year. Look, I will say this to all the Jim Jefferies Show fans that one day, without a shadow of a doubt, this is a promise, we will fix racism.
That's a white person talking.
No.
You mean the show will fix racism? No. The Jim Jefferies Show will fix racism?
Yeah, no, if it's the last thing I do, in this country and every country, I will make us all one. I will fix racism.
Fixing racism requires...
You don't know what it requires. You're not prepared to do it. I am. Yes. I'm the person who's going to
do it.
Let
her talk.
No, yes. It requires...
Oh, no, I'm not going to fix misogyny.
Okay. So don't let her talk.
Shut up.
Anyway, now what is fixing racism
requiring? It requires so much exposure. Like, people in middle America have to be... Not just aware of other ethnicities, but you have to be constantly exposed. Like the time that it takes to like have empathy for another culture is like it takes so like a white person who's racist has to have several experiences where like his car breaks down and it ends up being a black guy who helped him out to finally evolve and be like, oh wait.
Look, the simple answer for racism is this, and if you're listening in your car or at home, fuck it away. The only way to get rid of racism is we all fuck each other and we have brown babies and black babies and half white babies and people that look like Ginger.
Like me.
The only way is to fuck racism away. So I'm willing to fuck a lot of people to solve this problem.
We're the majority in 2050.
I understand what you're saying, but there is, just as a case, there's a... Hang on.
It's a white guy from Florida wants to say something.
No, please.
I'm just
using like, I eat Cuban food. It's cool.
Yeah. I have friends that are Hispanic.
Puppies. I know
Bobby. I dated
Cuba.
Cuba.
I've been to a Haitian restaurant. So there was that lawyer in New York this last week, Aaron Schlossberg.
It's pronounced Brokovich.
Yeah.
And
he's
so racist the way he said it.
He's the guy that was in that Fresh Market, and he came out and said that people weren't speaking English. And then he said he was going to call ICE. And it's like every once in a while, the internet really does some good, and they like they basically that video went viral, and he was like getting chased by like reporters. He hid behind an umbrella. There was a GoFundMe to hire a mariachi band to play outside.
Oh my god,
but he lives in New York City, and I'm just like, how are you moving to New York City?
I don't know.
People tolerant. Yeah, it's like you can't live there and expect to not hear other languages.
I just want to say at this moment, Donald Trump is from New York City.
Yeah, but he lived in a
he lived
tower.
An ivory tower.
But that's public shaming, like W. Kamau Bell said, and that's the
well. That
best
brings
thing
us on to what happened was next after that we interviewed W. Kamau Bell. Now W. Kamau Bell and me have a connection that people don't know about. Our TV show, Legit.
Mm-hmm. Was he?
He was on. He was the first show. They had a late night show. He was the first show on the FXX network. We were the second show. The wonderful network.
We went over to
We went over to it. Our ratings were fine. Yeah. Then we moved over to FXX. Anyway, so what happened was he was the first show that was canceled, but now he has a show that is Emmy Award winning called The United Shades of America. Holy shit stick. And I keep talking because this is what professionalism is all about.
You can't hear it all the way.
I feel like Freddie Mercury. You know, we have a microphone stand.
We've had an accident.
Also, plus the AIDS.
Wait. You're cutting in and out. So,
I love Freddie.
Jim's mic just. My mic's cutting out.
I'll go ahead and take over.
No, you can still hear me. You can still hear me, right?
Okay.
All right. There you go. And we're back.
So anyway, so he has a show called The United Shades of America on CNN, Emmy Award winning. He was nice enough to come on our show, and we interviewed him. I haven't seen the edit yet because the interviews we do in studio are about 9 minutes. We edit them down to about 6 minutes, so I don't know what was kept in and taken out, but it was very interesting.
I thought it was really good. And it's like you guys, you know, I mean, you, it's like always you were saying it's, before. Sometimes you know some of the guests before, and sometimes you
know, I only met him very briefly once at an FX thing, very briefly for like 5 seconds. But it's always nice when two comics are talking. It's always a bit more free than if you say you were talking to. Sometimes when I have to interview politicians, it's a little bit more difficult because I have to pull information out of them. But he was funny from the get go.
Yeah, it was funny. He walked out smiling and waving because he was like playing off the first act.
He was playing in the first week about how black people have to smile and wave so that we don't report them.
Yeah. No, I thought you guys had good chemistry, and it was there was a lot of funny stuff. I was like, I'm not going to give it away. This comes out tomorrow. I don't know what I'm saying. But we don't know what's going to...
We don't know what's going to go out. But he was racially profiled at one time, and he went to a coffee shop, and he went to talk to his wife, who was a white woman.
Yeah, and they banged on the window.
And someone banged on the window and said, leave that woman alone.
I was in Berkeley.
And
I
Berkeley
didn't catch
is
that,
so diverse.
Yeah. It's
isn't that where all the lesbians are? In college,
just went down to a 3.8. It's not just for racism.
No, isn't that the stereotype that all the lesbians are in college at Berkeley?
I don't know if that's a stereotype, but you went to Berkeley?
I went there for a year.
All right, confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you leave because of all the lesbians?
No,
they're everywhere. They're
I don't remember that being a thing.
You're just climbing over lesbians to get the class.
My favorite bit is it going to be edited in that I said that there was a stereotype that Australians are good at cunnilingus? Yeah, I'm very proud of that. I'm going to spread that rumor wide and far.
But then your tag is you. That's why they call it, what did you say?
That's why they call it going down under.
Yeah, and I was sitting in the back. I don't know if you can hear me because I was in the back. I just go, boo, when you said that.
Did you really?
Like as a joke. I wasn't in the audience.
Did you boo in the audience?
No, not in the audience. I'm back behind the curtain. And when you said going down under, I was laughing, but I was also boo.
I'm very proud of that joke.
Yeah, well.
If I never say another joke in my entire life, I want to be known for the going down under joke. Jason, come over here.
It's all racism if you're going to.
Jason. No, Jason is our head writer. I don't know if he's ever been on the show, but come and talk to us for
Jason,
just
Jason, have you ever been racially profiled?
He hasn't been racially profiled. He once was mistaken for John Oliver. Get on the microphone.
I could see that.
Yeah, now our head writer looks like John Oliver.
He does.
But it turns out that he looks age-appropriate. John Oliver looks terrible for his age. Anyway,
How old is John Oliver?
I'm 6 months older. I'm beautiful.
Whoa!
I'm 6 months older than John Oliver, and with a history of cocaine abuse and smoking, I look phenomenal.
You're like all the guys that were on the, like, I Lost Me to Meth posters a while ago where I'm like, these guys look great. They look heroin chic.
I'm heroin chic. I should be 400 pounds.
Yeah. All right, well, you called Jason over and you haven't asked
but Jason, you never sit on the podcast. I'm very excited.
Once. I was here once.
You were here, but what was your favorite joke of the show?
Probably when you said that thing about going down under.
Thank you. See, why Jason gets to stay in. That's why Jason gets to stay in.
Get this yes man out of here.
Forrest booted. Forrest booted. You can't say get yes man out of here. Jim Carrey was in the movie Yes Man, and you owe your whole life to that guy now. And so was Reese Darby, our buddy Reese Darby. Yeah. So would you like to introduce, what was our third act, Jason?
Oh, third act was about service animals.
Service
emotional
animals.
Support animals.
Emotional support animals.
The difference between them and service
now, animals. Now, we should say that Forrest Shaw here has been a non-advocate of support animals for a very long time. But you've been doing stand-up routines in anger about support animals for about three years,
I
right?
I wrote on this act, so it was...
I think Forrest pitched the story.
Yeah.
And
very excited.
Like, easily... 80% of the writer's room was not into it.
Yeah,
Forrest, I was on your side.
You were on my side.
And
Forrest
Scott was,
stand up about service animals makes me need a service animal. Because it's so mean. No, just kidding.
Well, there was one joke that I've said on stage that made it in there. Yeah.
Well, I've always hated support animals, but I didn't know. And,
I wrote a lot of new jokes.
And as with all the things we do on the show, often you have a somewhat... like just an opinion on something that isn't very well formulated, and then our researchers go off and they come back with stats and figures, and then you're like, no, fuck these people. And it turns out that it is extraordinarily easy to get a service animal certificate. Yeah.
Emotional support animal.
Emotional support.
We should make the
distinction between...
Because very clearly, like, blind people need guide dogs. And also, look, we all know about my hatred of the blind. They also should be put in some type of camp.
With the dogs.
Yeah, they don't even need walls. Just they just have to be pointed to the wrong direction. But you know how I feel about the blind. And if there's any blind people listening, I'm sure this is the only form of entertainment you get all week. And to our deaf listeners... what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing right now? Anyway, this show in Braille.
Signing the podcast.
Oh, someone's signing. Anyway, so we found out that it's extraordinarily easy. There are several, maybe 10 or 12 different web pages you can go to where you just put in some information and you go, oh, I don't like flying, and they just send you the vest. It's like when you go when weed was illegal in California and you could just go, oh, I get a bit depressed, and then they would give you a weed card. It is simple as fuck to you to travel with your dog. And what this is doing
is
delegitimizing the people who actually do, because some people do need emotional support animals, people who have been to war and an animal is very important to them for their mental health. But a lot of these people are just fucking chicks who have little handbag dogs.
Yeah, but the exotic animals are...
I was once on a fucking plane and I saw Caesar Milan with a support dog. Caesar Milan, in case you don't know, is the dog whisperer. He had a TV show called The Fucking Dog Whisperer, and this guy can't be without it. Mind you, the dog was very well behaved.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Remarkably so. It got me a Jack and Coke. It flew the plane for a bit. It was a fucking great dog, but still upsetting.
Just to be clear, though, they not only sent a vest and a leash stuff. They sent like a plastic ID
cute card. Little card.
That says Carl.
Okay, we haven't mentioned. We registered a camel. We registered.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm sorry, I didn't wasn't paying attention. I thought we did the review.
Yeah. We registered, because you can register lots of animals. People registered pigs and snakes and all sorts of things. And we registered a camel that we called Carl, and we just sent away the forms and we said, oh.
We don't own the camel.
We don't own the camel.
We registered it. We registered it twice.
There was one company that said no because we didn't live on a farm. It wanted to say yes.
They said yes initially. They ran it up the ladder, and then one person there was like, I don't know about the camel.
I don't know about the camel.
So then we were like, we're kind of screwed. And then so we registered. We went to a couple different companies. Katie's in the room right now. She can explain because she was it was her and Andrew that were trying. You can come on the
Katie,
room.
Come over here, Katie.
And so we registered with two companies, and then it came back when we got the first initial approval. We were like, "Oh, we got it done!" And then the second one came back like almost immediately.
No, so, Katie, is one of the animals registered to you? I know that one.
Introduce yourself, Katie.
Yes, I'm Katie. Hi.
Hi. No, just for Jim because he didn't know.
Jim doesn't know his full stuff.
I'm a field producer. I work in the field department.
Hey, you know how I am about building too.
It's fair.
I if you podcast, I know you. Shut up, Kelly. Or as I call you, Scott with long hair. Kelly and Scott are brother and sister. That wasn't just a mean joke. They're actually related.
So Katie and Andrew Wontok, you know, as well from the podcast, both were...
We were on the phone, I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with various agencies. Multiple agencies said yes. A couple of them kicked back.
Yeah.
Andrew registered the camel to his name.
You know what I thought was beautiful? Because Andrew Wontok, yeah, we've had on the show, and his wife Brittany, who actually taught the Jeffarettes how to dance, and he has a... I went to baseball the other day with Andrew and his daughter, Charlotte. Andrew's a wonderful fella, great family guy, one of the nicest people you'd ever meet. But what he did was, when he went to register the camel, he just answered all the questions seriously.
Oh, my God.
Like, have you ever been sad? Yes.
Oh.
Right? Do you have problems? Do you get anxious? Does your wife hate you? Yes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He answered
all these questions correctly, and Andrew actually qualifies for a support camel. No lies, no fucking smoke and mirrors. That cunt needs a support camel. I think he's actually in the car park hugging Carl right now.
Yeah, I have a letter
which
here.
He also did with Carl Reiner when he was here.
I have a letter here, and it says, to whom it may concern, Andrew Wontok is my patient and is under, by the way, only had a phone call, is under my professional care, and I'm familiar with the patient's history and with the limitations imposed by the patient's disability. Like, basically, this letter looks official, and there's these plastic ID cards.
You get an animal so that,
like,
ID
you,
card.
Like, if you present this to someone at an airport or, like, a place you wanted to live or, like, people...
Well, see, one of the things is, I think it was United or American Airlines, they started to draw the line on emotional support animals that you couldn't have a hoofed animal. Right? Mm-hmm. So that includes like horses, donkeys,
United
goats.
United won't let you out of a hoof.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, but this isn't a camel's not a hoofed animal.
Right?
So you can still get a camel. Yeah, they have toes.
But you can't. But camels have four women in yoga pants.
Yeah.
So wait, I also like when you put the card, when you got it like approved, the picture of our camel as a sport camel is clearly in a desert. There's like dunes and shit behind it.
Also, I think it's a different breed of camel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not even the same.
No,
camel.
I think there's like how there's different breeds of dogs. I think there's different breeds of camels. This
yeah,
is very clearly like a long-haired fucking yak-looking camel.
Yeah, it looks more like a yak.
Yeah, that one looks like a llama.
But look at it. Like there's a desert. This is like in the Middle East somewhere in that picture. It's not LA at all. There's no dunes.
No, that's my backyard. I don't use water to save the environment. I have a very desolate backyard.
And it also says on one of them, it says it's good until the animal dies. Valid for the life of the animals. That's,
wow. That means,
did it cost anything?
I feel like that camel outlived me.
Yeah, I think like $150 or something like that.
Now, with all the money that we spent on the camel and getting the camel things, it's official. The camel was more expensive than Brad Pitt to have on the show.
Oh, yeah, because don't forget, we have a vest.
It's true.
We made a custom vest as well.
We made a custom vest. That'll be sitting there forever. Oh, it's very nice. I didn't know it was lined.
Kit made it.
These are, you know, if there's any doubt that it's a money-making thing, it's like, you can get our bronze packet, which gives you the ID card and a certificate. You can get the silver package, which is two cards and a vest. You can get the gold packet. And so,
the camel came out, and this is one of the quickest takes I ever did. I did one take with the camel. The camel pissed during the entire take. The camel was urinating. I mentioned it
very... And it already peed for 3 minutes.
And it already peed before. But in the
shitting
in the fourth act, we were going to do a story just about a woman who took a shit in Tim Hortons.
We did it, yeah.
And the great thing about it was it all sort of ties back in on the two guys that were kicked out of Starbucks. But now we're talking about a woman in Canada who just laid a deuce in the middle of a restaurant, started throwing her shit around. Now, I was very passionate about this. No one else in the writing staff wanted this to happen, but I just wanted to do the fourth act on sitting on the back of the camel and not mention that I had a camel. We had a saddle for the camel. We had shit going down. I rehearsed. I practiced getting on the camel and being lifted up, and then some people didn't want to do it, and I was adamant I was going to do it, but then when it came down to the moment, a lady shitting... It does its own justice. You don't need to have a camel.
Have to dress it up with a camel. Yeah.
Did you know it was pissing when you were talking?
I said it. I said it.
But I didn't know. You said it at the very end because...
No. I wanted to get through everything and then just make reference. I didn't want to just go, it's pissing, and then start again.
I didn't see
I'm
it pissing
a professional
at first.
Forest.
I didn't see it pissing at first, and then everyone in the back of behind the curtain was running around like, I'm like, what's happening?
We had a perfect view at the table.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It did empty out his hump. The studio doesn't smell like it used to smell.
No.
A lot of people know this, but our studio is where they film the Cosby Show. It smells like it used to back then.
Oh, you just christened it. Oh, my goodness.
Because not a lot of people know that Bill Cosby's cums actually smells like camel piss.
I would believe that.
It's a rare known fact. It's on a trivial suit question. Adults edition.
Hollywood edition.
I feel like we're going to have to edit that out, even though I don't think we should have to, but it feels like they're like, unless you can
No, he's being accused.
Okay.
If you're telling me that I don't know what Bill Cosby's cum smells like, how do you think I fucking got a green card in this country?
What was the thing, too, where you said to one of the cameramen, like, have you ever filmed a camel?
Yeah, there one of the cameramen we went up to, well, it wasn't me. Someone went up to him and went, this must be an unusual day. I bet you don't film a camel every day. And the guy's like, nah. I filmed this camel 8 times.
This exact camel.
Shit. Yeah. It turns out that this is your go-to fucking camel.
Oh, Carl.
The Carl's in everything. He's pissed in every studio around town. We had for the credit bed. Not many people will see the credit bed if you watch it live, but if you watch it on demand, you'll see a credit bed where we have a little thing over the credits, which is normally from our field piece, one little joke that's taken out while the credits are happening. And because if you watch it live, it just sort of the show stream into each other. But our credit bed this week was just me walking down to Santa Monica Boulevard with my camel.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, you think I could do that in one take. No, it turns out that I was standing in a bad position. It took three or four takes before I could walk a camel fucking properly.
Carl, the famous camel. He's in Ben-Hur with J.J. Abrahams.
But the important thing to take away from this is, this is real, though. Like, to prove the point of the whole piece is, we registered a fucking camel as a support pet that they never saw the camel. They never saw anybody in person. And it's like, so that's, I mean, it really hammered home the point of just how insane this whole thing is with the
so
it just gave me tips. And I was like, for $150, I can register my, I don't know.
What do you got?
Boyfriend? Right. You've had him. Matter. You've had that guy for a while. How's he doing?
I can register my boyfriend.
You probably can. You named him and put a picture of a dog on there.
Well, how much emotional support does he have?
I got to tell you, I met the guy. He's very supportive. So in Act 4, we talked about in Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is the coffee store in Canada. The Canadians are mad for Tim Hortons. It's slightly worse than Starbucks, but they kind of enjoy that. And it's everywhere. If you're in Canada and there is a Tim Hortons and there's a Starbucks, there will be a line outside Tim Hortons. They fucking dig it. And Tim Hortons' whole business model should be, it could be worse. Right? Because their coffee's slightly shitter. They sell an Egg McMuffin that's just under what the McDonald's people are doing. It's like you'll still enjoy it, I guess, should be their model, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, in the Tim Hortons, this white woman just fucking lays a deuce, right? And then she starts throwing it at people. And we did a whole thing. Now, one of our writers, Jason Whitehead, who's Canadian, he gets upset with me because I do a Canadian impersonation. And my Canadian impersonation is basically just Homer Simpson, but dumber. I go, ooh, look, I'm a Canadian person, doopity-doo. And I don't know where doopity-doo came from, but now every time I finish a Canadian impersonation, I go, doopity-doo. Just wanted to say that on the podcast. No one seems to be. No one seems to be. No one seems.
Well, now you can do a different impersonation. You can just sit in your hand.
So anyway, that was the show. We've reached the 40-minute mark of the show. Forrest, you got anything that you want to sell?
Well, one more thing. I thought,
get your knickknacks.
I wanted Matt to come on for a few minutes because his Act 5 went out this week. His digital piece.
Okay. Right.
So
Wait. Let me.
One of our writers, Matt Kirshen.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Matt Kirshen did a piece about being British in the royal wedding.
Yeah, we've been doing these Act 5.
It's on the interweb.
It is. You can find it now. It's on the YouTube and Facebook channels for the show.
I always enjoy these Act 5s that we do, that we put on the internet with the writers, because it shows me acting chops.
you get to react.
Yeah, so he says something and I do a lot of what?
You look pensive for a while.
Yeah. I cover my mouth a lot when I'm giggling. I'm a bad corpser.
It also takes the heat off you, because instead of people just attacking you on the internet, they're like, oh, here's somebody new to attack. And then they're just
fucking,
like,
just fucking not Jim bullshit.
Yeah. I also get some of your residual hate as well. Like, I got like a few comments from people who clearly are mad at you for your anti-gun stuff. Who are like, there's another person now I can also be angry at.
Yes. Fucking snowflake, cuck, fuck, drunk, fucking, you fucking cunt. You used to be funny. Guns are good.
Yeah. Mega, fuck.
Yeah, mega,
they're
fuck, fuck.
I'm typing this at like the free internet at the like public library.
Yeah, with their hoofs. Talking about you, Huckabee Sanders.
And this is just a piece about a goofy piece about the royal wedding. I mean, not being able to be king. And it's just
here's
like,
the thing, though. Yeah, just before that, I was listening to the podcast last week. I think we have fairly different upbringings, but our moms have exactly the same attitude to the royal family. Because I had the same thing of like when the Queen's speech is happening during Christmas Day,
we have to show.
Like, she now watches it from a different room because she couldn't cope with the ribbing, like with a mockery. Oh. She's like, if you're not going to take it seriously, then I'm going to go next door.
My mother, after the Queen's speech at Christmas, she will say things like the Queen's speech is almost like a report of how the year went.
Yeah.
My mother will go, oh, she's holding up well. It's been a very, very hard year for her, but she's done it with dignity.
It's like the Commonwealth CEO's AGM speech. It's like,
when fucking Steve Jobs used to come out in his fucking turtleneck.
Yeah. When I went home a few years ago, I found they've got a bookshelf that still has VHS tapes in our living room, my parents' living room. And I found next to it three different tapes that said William and Kate Wedding BBC, William and Kate Wedding ITV, William and Kate Wedding Sky. Now, two things remarkable about that. Firstly, my mum owns three working video recorders that she can run simultaneously.
And what's even more remarkable, there is only two channels in Britain. Right. She somehow found a third one.
But it's also, it's the same footage.
Same footage.
It's like the Olympics. There's only one camera crew. Everyone gets the same pictures, and then they just do that. But she wanted the commentary from three different networks.
Watching the royal wedding, the thing that I took away from it at the royal wedding is that we now refer to black people in Britain as a breath of fresh air.
Well, I kept saying that.
Yeah, oh, she's a breath of fresh air.
It's an upgrade from vibrant, which is what it used to be. The older neighborhood is so vibrant.
Yeah. Yes, oh, she's a breath of fresh air. Look, this is something different that the Queen hasn't seen before. And then when like that black preacher came out from Chicago, oh, isn't this fun?
Isn't this impressive?
They're all like, they were about to call him like he was a guy in Starbucks.
We're enjoying this, right? They have to say it to themselves to convince them.
This is fun.
This is good. I'm okay with this.
The Queen was secretly thinking, I used to run everything.
While she was wearing lime green.
What I liked about the whole thing is I was watching the Canadian broadcast, and there was some Canadian guy going, doopy-doo. And he said, he goes, this will be the Queen's last wedding.
Oh, God.
That was it?
There's no more grandkids that need to get married. This is the last one.
She's not going to make it long enough for the great-grandkids.
She won't go to another wedding. Lap it up, Lizzie.
This is your last hat.
Yeah, enjoy this. This is your last hat. She wasn't actually wearing lime green. It was a white dress. She just sweats weird.
She and I both.
And on that note, so I would like to say goodnight, Australia.
No, not goodnight.
Forrest can wrap it up.
There's one more thing. I just want you to be a part of it.
What?
Here. Okay. Don't fucking want me. Pretend it's a whiteboard read. Get up here. There's a question on the next podcast. Could you all just talk about the dumbest ideas you've had for the show? Just name one dumb idea.
Oh, the dumbest idea we've had for the show? Oh, it was sitting on a camel in a fourth act that we didn't achieve. Oh. I just vomited in my mouth a little bit. Right. It was probably, we had a stuntman. That was pretty cool. We had a stuntman that Comedy Central just hated. And there was like episode 3.
They didn't hate the stuntman. And then they just hated the idea.
We did this idea. We had this thing about like how you have to have good people working around you. And Donald Trump was firing everybody. And if you fire everyone, I go, and then I started to act like I didn't need everyone on the staff. I didn't need this person. I didn't need that person. I didn't need my fucking stuntman. What do we got a stuntman for? Right. I was reading through a list of things. And then the guy was like shrugged his shoulders and he rolled down some stairs.
And then
we thought it was very funny.
We had a whale of a time writing that bit. And then we rehire him and he appears from the ceiling.
And I go,
And I
said, that's all right. Everyone's hired again. And then he fell through the roof.
Yeah,
back
I love that.
Comedy Central hated the stuntman. He has not been ranked.
As Dale, that other one. I only am named after characters with D's.
But we had, I think for our last episode, we're doing 30 episodes this season. We'll finish around Thanksgiving or something. I would like, and you're hearing it first, I would like for our final episode to have a little showcase of everything that's happened. I would like...
Well, don't give it away.
I would like the Jefferettes and the camel. I want everyone fucking back.
Don't bring that poor camel back.
We can do the camel back.
I can bring the camel back with the Jefferettes.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's your show. But I mean, if you're going to solve racism, you got to, you know, get on it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to solve it the only way I can, by having a piss. Good night, Australia.
Before we go, our guest, Ginger Gonzaga, please tell people, like, anything you want them to know about you. If you want to, like, follow on social media or
My social media is Ginger the Jester on all whatever social medias I'm on.
All of them?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
My Twitter.
Yeah, you're as good as me at promoting, by the way.
I know. Sorry. <Yeah. laughs> I told you I'm starving myself. My brain's not working. And watch Kidding. It comes out in September.
Boom. Matt, they can find your the piece we were talking about is on our Facebook page.
It's on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. It's all on the Jim Jefferies Show channel and all those things. And also, you can listen to my science podcast called Probably Science that Jim's been on, you've been on.
Yeah, we don't promote it. Jason's been on the show. We're just going to edit that out. So.
Oh, Ginger's going to be on at some point?
I'm going to be on it.
No, we're cutting all this out. We don't promote it. All right.
So, fuck it.
Sorry.
I've dissected a cat. Katie, on.
Jason, any other parting words?
I have nothing to promote.
Yeah.
I devote my entire life to this show. I have no outside interests other than the Jim Jefferies show.
Wow, this is, all right. Well,
so,
well
that guy needs a service
animal. Well,
please.
All right, everybody knows me. Hey, by the way, everybody, last week I said that there was all these bad comments about my voice and people shitting on me and stuff. Thanks for all the nice stuff people said this week. And people still said hurtful shit too as well. But it was nice. And as I've said before, at Forrest Shaw, Forrestshaw, please download Poor Decisions, watch it, rent it, whatever. Please leave a comment on Amazon if you liked it. And 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from yesterday, I have a charity a gig in New York City at Gotham Comedy Club. It's a really good show. Dan Soder's on it, Roy Wood Jr., Nikki Glaser, Nick Griffin, and all the proceeds go to the Multiple International Myeloma Foundation. So if you're in the New York City area, Tuesday, June 5th at 7 p.m., please go out to Gotham Comedy Club. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, tweet to us at Jefferies Show. Please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.